Will you continue to sit?
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
It's all good, though. You got to stand up for something. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
How's everybody doing? I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Bourbon in Browntown. My name is David of Browntown.
And Colin of Browntown is here.
And as always, Harambe. He got spiffy for today, which I'm so proud of you.
He's got his red power tie on, though. It looks beautiful, though.
I was going to say like our president. Whatever. Colin, what are we drinking today?
We are drinking some Grand Marnier from Paris, France. It is a cognac liqueur.
Of sorts.
Very delicious. Yes, I understand it's not bourbon, but it's still very good. And we like to diversify, so...
We had thought, I meant this other group that is not on camera right now, about changing it to booze in Browntown or bottles in Browntown.
Was it a we or you? Did you think
No,
that?
It wasn't even my idea. See, this is me actually giving credit to those who sometimes feel like they don't get credit. Look at her. So today we are here with another installment. This is actually episode 6, which is actually kind of great. I'm glad that we're still being able to do this.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's great.
What have you been doing the whole time?
I don't know.
So many people have seen the former 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, is currently out of a job. And so as we know, he had a lot of controversy last year. Was it already a year ago now? He was one of the football players who made a decision to protest in the manner of kneeling during the national anthem.
I mean, I've been 1-0, and he kind of started a movement seems really big, but he's kind of started a movement, and then not only pro sports, but collegiate sports and high school sports as well, as far as kneeling during the national anthem as protest of state-sponsored violence against black people.
And so many places, including one of our favorites, The Daily Show, ended up having this whole thing kind of about it. And with the popular Tommy Lauren, who ended up going into the show. And then you can find the whole interview online at Comedy Central, probably. So you search it. This was a couple months back, but I really remember the conversation and her aspect or her point about it was that she didn't understand why he was targeting the national anthem, as if he was targeting the national anthem. And, she's like, I don't understand that, but, once I do understand, then maybe I can answer your question. And so she was saying this in a response to Trevor Noah, who kept trying to present himself. And I really remember both of us kind of watching this, and we're kind of like, come on, give me some more. Like get on her. Like, she's evading the question. Like, can you please say something?
Yeah.
But with people like them, and by them I mean, the media sort of looking upon this, we fast forward to the president. And he's without a job still. And one of the reasons very much so is because of his influence with this movement. As we know, when I think he became a free agent, and so one of the only football teams that took any notice of him were the Seahawks.
Sure.
But Pete Carroll actually had a very interesting quote about it. He said, "Colin's been a fantastic football player, and he's going to continue to be. At this time, we didn't do anything with him, but we know where he is and who he is. We had a chance to understand him much more. So he's a star in the league." And that's a quote from the Boston News.
Yeah, it's just kind of odd. I mean, even backing up to that, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know the exact particulars as far as when he was released from 49ers, but I know he was kind of hurt during that time as well.
Yeah.
And then he got healthy and he played here and there, but I find that to be an interesting thing with these conversations of racism in institutions. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's colorblind. Right, and it's attributed to something else. Like, oh, he was hurt, therefore we didn't play him when he might have been healthy when it was okay. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, he was hurt, he wasn't performing as well, when you look at the numbers, and he was, and they'll release him. And it's also attributed to these things that have nothing to do with race. Mm-hmm. But there's a subtext that they are. This with Pete Carroll, it's like, I this is news to me as well. I don't get this for a lot of reasons. Like, for one, why would they even get him in the first place and spend the money to have him come aboard?
Well, I mean, there is the argument to be like, you know, if Colin Kaepernick is okay with going to the Seahawks and being a bench player,
yeah.
Like, why not have that caliber of player, like, just
riding your bench? And they're not paying him as much,
I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's a thing. I do remember going back to one of your statements, though. It's like, I remember an argument being like, oh, he's just kneeling to get attention because the 49ers decided to not start him for a good portion of the season. It's like, oh, this is him just trying to be a crybaby and, you know, snowflake.
They call him a snowflake?
I'm pretty sure. Tommy calls everyone a snowflake.
Oh, this is Tommy Lauren.
Or just people in general.
Okay.
Like, at least the meme world or the internet world, which, yeah. You know, is it itself.
You don't make yourself smaller in size and scope and saliency to get more attention. Right.
I mean, I can, like, I try to understand, like, just like going back to the Tommy and the Trevor Noah interview is like, I remember watching it, like, trying to, like, understand Tommy's point of view and, like, you know, trying to really meet that other side, because I remember a large part of what was happening at that time. It was like, I think December, November. And so we were very polarized. We as a society were very polarized. And, you know, it was viewed as like this left versus right sort of thing. And then, you know, black lives versus white lives. And so it was happening a lot. And so my point where I was trying to find bridges to all these things and trying, sure, to like meet people in the middle so I can see, try to understand. But, you know, as we go through it, you know, you end up realizing you start seeing facts. And so, like, there's a history to the national anthem at football games. And, you know, there's a quote that no NFL player stood for the national anthem until 2009. So it's like, what? I don't remember. I never watched too much football. But, sure, like, did you remember ever, like seeing that difference in it?
I mean, that was kind of odd to me, that quote, because I thought that, like, they always came out and
I don't remember, but because the quote is
like, it's like that they didn't come out in the first place. They were in like locker rooms while the national anthem went on, right? But then talk about the money and how the National Guard would give the NFL specifically a bunch of money, $5.4 million between 2011 and 2015 to play the national anthem during games, right? So it's like, where's the money at? What's that going to? What does that say? So it's interesting as far as like, oh, like the NFL's patriotic. It's like, you're patriotic when it benefits you and it gives you $5 million over the course of 4 years. So it's just another thing of where, how like patriotism and capitalism goes hand in hand. It is a code of language we always talk about. Patriotism, democracy, all these things that mean
freedom.
Yeah, freedom. All these like code of words. They really don't like have any inherent meaning as far, mm-hmm, but we just, the way we commodify and use them, they'll be coded for other things like racism, like capitalism, like imperialism, right? And so like anytime I hear about an organization called, you know, the Families for Freedom, you know, organizations, like, oh, they're probably a really conservative group that like hates black and brown people and like women. I just assume that. And it's normally fucking true, right? Because this weird code of language we always use, like freedom, patriotism. It's like, yeah, like I'm all about loving the country for the good things about it. But like to love somebody or love something and then not challenge it when it's doing something harmful or wrong. Like, that's not love. That's not what love is. Kind of going back to the Tommy Lauren thing is like, I think part of why she didn't understand what he was doing was because she didn't understand him to be oppressed. Like, I don't remember exactly what you said, but her making jabs at him during the interview, being like, oh, like his perceived oppression, like he makes money, like he's not oppressed. And it's like, mm-hmm, no, he's like, he's a black man, he's oppressed, like he's good financially, but he can still get killed and like nothing will happen, right? And that's kind of what he said as well. Same thing with the dude from Mizzou. I forgot his name. The guy who did the hunger strike in Mizzou 2 years ago, because of all the racist shit that was going on there. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Columbia, MIZ. Whoop whoop. All racism was going on there. People were like, "Oh, he's middle class. He comes from a good family." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm middle class. Like, my parents have means, but like, that's not what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
And he was like, "I'm very much aware of intersectionality and like how class plays, you know, plays role in people's lives, yeah, and oppression and power." Like, he's like, I get that. I'm not saying that's not a thing, but like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the race shit that's happening, the racist shit that's happening on our campus.
Yeah.
So it's just this weird thing of like, you know, someone talks about they're being oppressed in this instance, but you have to point to how they're privileged.
Yeah.
And you can't have a conversation about all those things at the same time. This intersectionality just doesn't happen. Or it happens in a way that benefits the person who's oppressing them in the conversation.
Yeah. And as Godel, you know, told one of his fans, he's like, you know, we have to respect people's rights, you know, but for us, we're all about patriotism.
Yeah. And that's like kind of coded and problematic. But like, I remember when he first kneeled, I was kind of surprised by the NFL's reaction, because it was like that or even more hands off. It was very much like he's a grown man, he's gonna do what he wants. Like,
yeah.
Kanye shrug. Obviously, that wasn't verbatim, but that's like pretty much what it was saying. They didn't like condemn him. They didn't like fine him. They didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. They were just like, oh, like he's just a dude in the world doing things. Like, I don't know. And normally NFL is like, you know, the way they carry out punishment and a lot of things are problematic in a lot of ways. And I was kind of surprised though how hands off they were. And maybe that's problematic. They were hands off. They like come to his helm and defend him. But mm-hmm. I had a very low bar for how I thought they were going to handle that, and they handled it.
Subbar.
So they had him at a zero. So I was like, hey, you're going to do it. You're going to goodbye me. I don't know. I was just very surprised.
Well, I mean, there's also a history to, you know, sort of the media or the society at the time responding to these moments of activism. You know, we can go far back to the Olympics, Mexico,
1968. You have a poster in our foyer. Yeah, they got their medal stripped. And all this shit at the time, which is crazy. I mean, it wasn't crazy. Like, it was 68. Like, I'd imagine that would happen. But I remember watching a documentary about, I don't know if it's about them or it's about the movement at the time. Uh-huh. And I think they're interviewing John, maybe it's John Carlos, one of the two. And he was like, yeah, like, black folks are like, who are athletes, like, at this caliber, they're just, a lot of them are just not going to the Olympics. They're just like, no, like, the U.S. is doing all this terrible shit. We're in this movement now. Everything's radicalized. Everyone's crazy. Like you know, there's this mass consciousness of black liberation and fighting back against the system. I'm going to represent that system abroad and be implicated by it, but also help it, like, win medals internationally when we're going through this. But he was very much like, I feel you. I'm all about that. He's like, but I don't think, like, mainstream hegemonic culture should implicate what I want to do. Like, I want to run really fast and beat people around the globe. And he's like, I'm not going to not do something I love because mainstream white supremacist society, I'm going to benefit them somehow. I'm going to do what I love. And I'm going to be black and proud at the same time. That's what he did, which I think is dope. And I think that's like a grand example. But there's a lot of times where, like, at least me as a black man, like, I want to, like, do or say or, like, do something that, like, in my mind, I know it might be looked at as doing like a black thing or living up some stereotype, but it's like, okay, am I gonna not do something I want to do that makes me feel good that I like, mm-hmm. Because I know how it looks and how that could reflect poorly on like my people, mm-hmm. but for me not do that to like appease someone else's racist thoughts, mm-hmm. appease their racist thoughts. Like, mm-hmm. why can't I do that and then not appease someone who shouldn't be thinking that way in the first place?
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not him, unfortunately. But I think like he said that, I was like, that's fucking dope, because like that's a grand example for this like, you know, this micro interaction that at least I have as a black man. I'm sure other people of color or really just other marginalized people in some capacity have all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. man, I'm gonna say, get out of the house, playing? And I'm watching a horror movie, in a movie theater. It's like, oh, I'm doing like a black thing. I'm yelling out in the theater. Like, it's like, I just. I don't want to not do that because, like, oh, white people might think, like, oh, this is, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do what I want. And if you have those thoughts about, like, generalizations about my race, like, that's your problem and not mine.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of held on to that moment in the documentary where you mentioned that. So, like, that's a very cool thing. And I feel like I'm sure he got some heat for even going to the Olympics from some of his, mm-hmm. you know, radical friends and stuff. I don't know that, but I would not be surprised. So, it's interesting. I'm glad they did that. I'm glad we had that moment.
And that kept leading on, you know. Then you had Muhammad Ali, who we all know. That I think the biggest thing is the way in which people try to sort of not belittle, like, but like really, really, really like calm what they truly represented at the time. And Muhammad Ali was a great example.
Yeah.
Like, here's this big, you know, giant, tough, aggressive boxer.
Yeah.
And he happens to be black, and he happens to be bold, and he happens to speak his mind. And, like, at that time, that shit was crazy. Like, these people were losing their shit.
He's friends with Malcolm X, too.
And then he became a member of the Nation of Islam. And so, like, then you couldn't stop him. And then you kind of see the way in which people comment about it and, you know, refer to the great Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
When in reality, at the moment, there was all these white people that were, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but it's just like you're seeing something you're not used to seeing.
Yes, you do.
Just think about that in general. It's like you're used to this thing for a while, and out of nowhere it comes this dude, and this he was a kid to a lot of people. Like he's a young African American speaking, boxing, beating the shit out of everybody. Like, what are you gonna say? Like, he wanted to go fight a war, and then you kind of got a little upset about it. But he's at the end of the day still did him. He didn't stop for that. And,
so there's also a quote that's posted in our office by Mr. Muhammad Ali that kind of speaks to kind of what we've been talking about. The quote reads, "I am America. I am the part you won't recognize, but get used to me. Black, confident, cocky. My name, not yours. My religion, not yours. My goals, my own.
Ooh.
Get used to me."
Mm. And so we're seeing this in moments, you know, today, you know, with the Patriots players who decided to not visit the White House days after Donald Trump had gotten elected. And like that, I remember created a lot of conversation, especially with like SportsCenter crap. Like, they ate this shit up. It's like they were like, oh, Tom Brady might go, Tom Brady might not go, blah, 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 blah. And then the dude ends up not going. And, you know, the same thing happened with the Golden State Warriors, who happened to win the NBA championship this year. And Steve Kerr has been a very outspoken coach, along with Popovich and Jeff Van Gundy, you know, being some of the most outspoken people in the sports world, and very, very much giving commentary on Trump and kind of being like, I feel how you feel.
You know what they've been saying? I like
verbatim, no, but I'd be very curious. Like, let's see, like, what I get.
I read one article about like, Steve Kerr and Popovich, and then it's like making statements, and then kind of like how the team was not going. This was before the series was over, even. And they were just like, oh, if he went, we're not going, like as a team, which I think is cool. But I found a quote by Ta-Nehisi Coates that kind of goes with what we're saying as far as not doing something that you feel like the mainstream white supremacist society will reflect on your entire race, and it's kind of doing you, but also doing something in a very unapologetic way. The quote reads, "You are growing into consciousness, and my wish for you is that you feel no need to constrict yourself to make other people comfortable." Which is like simple and dope. And I think that's what Tommy Smith and John Carlos, whoever was watching in the interview in that documentary, that's kind of what he was saying. It was just like, I'm gonna do what I want to do. It makes me feel good, but I'm also going to do it in an unapologetically black way, or to use a vernacular of the time, in a black power mindset, right? That's a very much a term we're saying now, but I think back then that was very much the sentiment then, black power, right? And it's still very much the same thing, which I think is great.
I found some shit like Popovich.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. So one of the ones, it was during the Western Conference Finals. And he's like, usually things happen in the world and you go to work and you've got your family, you've got your friends, and you do what you do. But to this day, I feel like there's a cloud, a pall over the country in a paranoid, surreal sort of way that's got nothing to do with the Democrats losing the election. Then you start seeing the sort of like marketing within. And I think in the NBA, I think it was the I Can't Breathe shirts.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I remember seeing a picture of D. Rose in an I Can't Breathe shirt, and like when he used to play for the Chicago Bulls, and I was like retweet. It was like, you know, like we all knew what that was talking about. So then, where does job security meet activism? You know, like so we have the example of LeBron James. There could be argument made that he has reached the potential that Michael Jordan, especially at his time, has reached. Yada 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 yada. His home was vandalized during the, I want to say, the Eastern Conference Finals or just the NBA Finals in general. Regardless, he ended up having this little conversation, or not a little conversation, but people had asked him kind of what his opinion was, and it wasn't what I hoped it was. And so it was kind of like, I was like,
I know a little bit about that, but can you,
well, can you expand on it for me? All I know is his home. I saw all of two videos, and one of them was on YouTube. One of them, SportsCenter was like having a commentary about it. Like, it's like, oh, like, how does this impact you, his game now that his home's been, and so that no one really like brought it to the level that I thought about it. Like really been like, well, you know, like I'm a black guy, blah, 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 this, and this ended up like happening, or this could be the reason why this happened to me. Like, I just wanted him to take it somewhere. I wanted him to pull it, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think a part of it, I felt he didn't do it, one, because like he doesn't want to harm his market, or he couldn't, sure. You know, like, how do you
put it? The only thing I saw about it was that he definitely mentioned like, like, oh, it's a black man, like, you're always, you know, implicated by the system because mm-hmm. of your race. And I had no context. I thought he was just like talking, because, mm-hmm. like, that's the truth. But apparently, he's almost right in the eyes, which makes a little more sense. But, yeah, I remember he made that statement. I just didn't know what it mm-hmm. was about. Mm-hmm. And do they know anything about who or why they vandalized this rent? Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I can't really speak on it that much, but no matter why, no matter what's reported as far as what happened or why it happened, it's like, I feel like that's always going to be part of it. That's part of that intersectionality as far as like the reasons of people's identities and how it's implicated in the system. Furthermore, about Mr. James, I don't have as much animosity towards him as you
no,
do.
No, he's fine.
That is coded language that is not fine in your book, which is fine. But I remember, I think it was the ESPYs, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but it was after one of the many unarmed black men was killed by police, after like a string of them in a row. And he was on stage with, I think, three other folks. I think it was Dwayne Wade and probably Chris Bosh and somebody else. But they made this very general, meant nothing statement about like, inequality is wrong, and like things are happening that are bad, and we should do something about it. And like, I'm obviously being tongue in cheek there with my rendition, but like, that wasn't far off from what their message was, right? So like, mm-hmm. we have that, then we have Colin Kaepernick being like, I'm kneeling because like a white police state is murdering black people, mm. and it's like, this is a very specific thing that's happening. I'm giving money to BYP 100. I'm like, mm-hmm. putting my money in organizations that are doing good work. Like, I shouldn't be commended. These organizations should be commended for trying to reform mass racialized incarceration and, like, police states in certain cities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing very targeted and very much calling out, like, certain things and instances and people and policies that are racist and promoting inequality. Whereas LeBron James, who would arguably have the, or if not one of the, you know, biggest platforms in sports, is just generally saying, like, inequality is wrong, mm-hmm. and like, people are people, which like fucking means nothing. And I think we're at a point now, especially where it's like, I was making this argument, like pre-Trump, we are at this point with activist resurgence around police accountability and all that, but now more than ever with like anything you hold near and dear, whether that's healthcare, whether that's trans rights, whether it's black liberation, whether it's what, like, name an issue you care about, it's probably under attack by the executive branch and really like the state in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's like, now everyone is primed, everyone's implicated. And all these issues are interrelated. Like, you can't just do one and not really think about it, or the other and how they affect each other. And so it's like, now more than ever, like, people with huge platforms, especially people like him, who I think has crossed the threshold of job security, right? Like LeBron gonna be okay. He's gonna be all right. Like,
but I mean, to what degree though? Like, what's to say that like Nike's not gonna pull his deal just like they pulled Pacquiao's? But if they
Pacquiao's. Do, is he gonna eat? Like, he gonna be all right?
No. But I mean, it's a fair argument to be made, because remember, when Manny Pacquiao was getting a whole shitload of beef because he said something about homosexuality, and then a lot of people were completely upset about this, and Nike stripped him of his deals, and like the man clearly suffered for stating his own opinion.
Sure.
Like, and I also, like, to me, it's problematic when asking athletes in general about their political whatever. Like, yes, they're people. They're entitled to their own opinions, and they're entitled to their own political opinions. However, I think that some people need to, like, you just, even if it's that's the way you feel, for example, Jake Arrieta, who is a pitcher for the Cubs, tweeted some bullshit ass this shit that we bullshit will not repeat. It fucking pissed me off. I screenshotted it, sent it to one of my friends, and he was like, please don't send me that type of stuff. I don't want to see that stuff. I don't want to believe that. And it's like, I can kind of see how he was kind of kidding, and he was kind of like, whatever about it. But it's like, no, dog. Like, he's talking about us. He's talking about you, and you're okay with him just talking that sort of shit? Like,
for the people who can't see you right now, what do you mean by us? What do you mean by you?
Me being a brown, a Latino, specifically Mexican, first generation, which my friend is. And like, regardless, like, at the end of the day, to be honest, like, J.K. Arrieta comes to my restaurant. No, like, I have seen him in person. I haven't interacted with him personally. And, like, I don't necessarily think that he's,
he was avoiding,
like,
you as intentional.
What?
Mr. Brown. He was avoiding you as intentional.
Oh. No, like, he, like, I've interacted with him. Like, he seems like a solid human being. Like, I don't think, like, he meant, like, any real sort of, like...
But they never do. Like, is that okay?
But it's fucking bullshit. That's where the problem lies. And it's like,
it is. And like, no, I wanna call you on this. Like, I wanna back this. Like, yeah, you're like, oh, he seems like a good dude. Like, whatever. He was fine. Yeah, he wouldn't say like, go home to Mexico, you brown.
He's not gonna tell me that because I am.
Your face. Yeah. And he probably doesn't even think that on the regular. But like, the fact that he thinks he can propagate that in the world via social media when he knows he has a fucking following, like, that's problematic. That's not okay. And it's like, I think there's a line where it's like, this kind of goes with the Pacquiao. I really kind of everything we're talking about is like, there's a line where people think they should be able to say whatever they want, which I guess they're able to, but it's like, it's problematic when like what you're saying, what you're believing is like morally harmful,
or physically creating hurt to another person.
Yeah, and like I hate to always do this and bring everything back to Trump, but a lot of the,
what's gonna happen when he's gone? Who are you going to talk about?
I'll talk about whoever's president.
So you blame the president.
Huh? Wow. I'll talk about Obama. I don't give a fuck. Bring him and I'll swing him. Chuck D said that about presidents in the 80s. Like, it's true. It's like, give me the leader of the executive branch of the capitalist state, and like, they're going to do or say some shit or project some policy. That's fucked up. Obama did the same thing. Don't get me wrong. I wish he was fucking in office now, but there's plenty of things to go from Obama about. But anyway, that's really beside the point.
Yeah.
My argument with rhetoric is like with Trump now and during the campaign season, defenders of him who are more middle of the road politically, even though social issues, like, oh, they said this thing about women or Latinos or insert a population here.
Yeah.
But like, that's just, people talk like that. That's just what he said. He's not gonna, that's not a policy or something.
It's not a real thing.
First of all, it is. But secondly, it's like, what you say and what you believe and how you like think about things is kind of, and you're in a position of power, that's going to manifest itself in policy. And like, with him, it has. We can point to those things. But like, this idea of like rhetoric and words don't matter. No, words fucking matter. And that's how they matter. They matter in deporting folks. They matter in you can't go to a fucking bathroom. They matter in one institute stopping for us, which is like clearly and constitutionally racist. Like, it's like, no, these things matter. Like, because they're representing beliefs, and your person of power believes these things, and you have the power to do so, and you have other like-minded people around you that can get together and manifest these things on a federal, on a state, on a local level, that they're going to do it, and they have done it, and it creates harm and violence.
So this is just a question to you then. So like, using that ideology,
yeah,
how do you explain, or like, are you okay with Manny Pacquiao's commentary on homosexuality?
I'm not okay with it, but I think with him. And you've kind of brought me to understand this too. It's like, you have to situate everything in context, right? In how people are raised and how,
environment,
their worldview and their environment and all that. So like, yeah, I'm not okay with what he said. I'm not okay that he believes that by any means. But I think it's important to understand the environment he grew up in and what he's been exposed to. Now, I think he, like, at his level in his career, like, he's seen the world, like he's had exposure. So I feel like, I'm not giving him an excuse, but I think you should situate everything in context. I think that's there's a thesis of that. But with that, it's like, yeah, you. So he, like, Nike took his deal and the other thing. People
and so then he like he was. I don't think he's hurting. Just like you, like we bring this back to LeBron. Like if Nike stripped him of his deal, like boy got like seven houses right now.
Yeah, and he knew sure he knew that was like could happen. He said how he felt, right?
And so like once again, like I am not also like on Manny Pacquiao's side with what he ended up saying. It's like, but I think Dave Chappelle really put it well in like one of the most recent skits. I think he talks about Manny Pacquiao. And he's like that's the last person you should be asking that type of question to. It's like, really, like, why are you talking about homosexuality to a boxer?
Yeah. I mean, I think...
As a commentator or as a journalist, like, what are you trying to get on that? Well, like, where are you trying to take that?
I get that. And I think... I know what I'm trying to say.
That's the Grand Marnier talking.
No, I think there's this notion of celebrity, which we feel like people have reached a certain echelon, athletes, actors, just even we consider a celebrity... They can't be touched, or people have deals with Nike or other things attached to their personality, and they very much are a brand in themselves. They turn it into a business, right? Yeah. And like I said about business earlier, is that it's the difference between Colin saying something, and then there's a difference between Colin representing DePaul saying something.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so I think when you get to that level, you are branding yourself, and so you're quote unquote limited, like businesses are. Mm-hmm. But I think that is a there's an error in thinking about that, because that's fugazi. It doesn't exist. I'm just like extrapolating that.
Fugazi,
right? That's a celebrity culture that we live in. So like I think people think that and feel that way, and some people say things that they either didn't expect them to say, or they say some outlandish stuff. People are shocked and amazed. It's like, no, these Pacquiao's just a dude. LeBron's just a fucking dude. Like, they're just
Kaepernick's
people.
Is a dude.
So and then they pull sponsorships and stuff like that. I understand that, but it's like, it's not shocking when you think about they're just people who just are talented in something and have a lot of more money than we do. So I don't think journalists should like not ask Pacquiao about homosexuality, or people should not ask LeBron about Black Lives Matter or Lil Wayne about Black Lives Matter. But I think we should understand whatever they say. Like, will more people care more than like what I say? Sure, because people are famous, but I don't think we should give it so much clout, or we should give it so much. I don't know. We should care about it so much, unless they're they're experts in that field or something like that.
Yeah, and see, and then to me, this is where I sort of defend Jake Arrieta, because I'm using the same ideology that you're using right there.
Yeah.
It's like I can't take Jake Arrieta's tweet about brown people and how they got to go back over the border because the wall's going up as seriously. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally understand.
And so that answered your own question.
Like he's thank me, you. Like he's being shit, but he's a piece of shit like anyone else who would say that was a piece of shit, right? And so it's like, I'm not like, oh, I can't support the Cubs, or I can't, like, my whole world's upside down. So he's just a dude who plays baseball really well.
Yeah, happens to pitch
which is good for him, but he's still a piece of shit, which is fine. But like, so is the fuckboy in... to Mackay 5 fraternity, right? I don't know if that's a real fraternity. If it is, I apologize. It's supposed to be fictional.
Moral of this story is
just like, it's like people are people. And like certain people have clouds, and people have certain talents that put them, up in our society in certain ways. And that's, that's fine. But at the end of the day, they're people. So like, I'm curious what LeBron has to say about Black liberation. I'm curious what he has to say about capitalism and trans rights. I'm curious what he has to say. But if he has to say anything that's like, whatever he has to say, it's like he's still just a dude. However, it's like, like with him versus Kaepernick, like obviously he's a bigger, a bigger player than Kaepernick. I'm not saying that correctly. But
LeBron James.
LeBron James versus
he's at a higher echelon
of NBA. He's living life.
He's playing the Olympics, four
and Kaepernick's
times.
A great player, but like he's not LeBron level. So it's like
he doesn't even have.
He's not crossed that threshold I mentioned earlier. Yeah. Whereas LeBron has. So it's like if you're golden like LeBron, like say some shit, like call out white supremacy, like say something. Don't just go on ESPYs and like. And my thing with that is like. My thing with LeBron's, like, I would almost rather he didn't say anything at the ESPYs versus trying to say something. I'm doing air quotes right now, and like not saying anything. Like I'm very tired of this like middle of the road centrist, like well to do liberal, like we should all get along and like we should just hold hands and like yay. It's like, no, it's not the way the world works. Like, and we should, but like call out something real. Call out real oppression, call out a fucking policy, call out, just be specific or learn more or just like, I don't know, just like educate yourself or something. But I'm tired of this like middle of the road, like people shouldn't die because of violence. Like, what does that mean? Who? Be specific. Why are they dying? At rates other people aren't.
But then, well, I guess we go back to like, should sports really have that job?
No one should have the job, but it's real. And if you're gonna like say something, say something. Don't waste my time.
Don't waste my time. That's why Colin clearly doesn't. Don't waste my time, Brown. But you know, I really understand like where you're getting at, and like really feel that. What should horrify Americans is not Kaepernick's choice to remain seated during the national anthem, but that nearly 50 years after Muhammad Ali was banned from boxing for his stance and Tommy Smith and Giancarlo Ray's fist caused public ostracization and numerous death threats, we still need to call attention to some of the same racial inequities. Failure to fix this problem is what's really un-American here. You know, like him kneeling during the national anthem isn't the problem. Like, that doesn't make him un-American. On the contrary, like, that's what we should define as what is patriotic. Like, he is literally doing something that is written on a Bill of Rights. Like, now we can talk about our government at another point, but like, these are the rules, these are the foundations to what they are, and that's exactly what he's doing. Like, yeah. He is speaking his mind, he's doing something, and he's doing it well, and that's something that we can applaud.
Yeah, he is. He's doing it well. He's in a very simple way. Like, he's he grew his fro out, though.
He grew his fro out. You see him?
He got black as fuck real quick. He grew his fro out. He's not wearing like Fred Hampton and shit. Like, I was like, oh, like, now that I get a chance to watch like that much
football,
TV and football and NFL, but like, I obviously knew when it was going on. I got things to do.
Soapboxpo.com.
But I kind of followed, you know, the story, if you will, after his first kneeling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, slowly his hair got bigger. He got darker. No, I'm just playing. We started wearing like Fred Hampton shirts and shit, and like started like, I was like, okay. And not that wasn't always there, but it's like now he's like, oh, people know me as like people notice that I'm black now. Yeah. That's everything, is how you perform blackness and all that. But that's a different podcast. But no, it's like with that, and let's just come back to the Tommy Lauren and Trevor Noah thing. It's like she thought Black Lives Matter was like a terrorist group or something. But like the way they protest and stuff like isn't okay, whatever. And then Trevor was like, okay, so like, Colin Kaepernick's not in the streets. He doesn't have a sign. He's not shutting down traffic. He's like, he's kneeling. He's like becoming, he's physically becoming like a less of a presence than he was standing. Like,
yeah, he's like,
and that's not okay.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a lot of the argument. That this isn't like a radical thought, but a lot of like, you know, blogs and articles were like, okay, like, don't be in the streets. Don't kneel during like what do I do if I want to protest against like state sponsored violence against black people? Like, what do I do? And it's like, okay, you don't like, it's not that like, oh, Black Lives Matter is fine, or it's like, oh, like we, like, you know, some unarmed person being killed is like not okay, but like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do these things that call out that oppression. It's like, okay, so what do you want us to do? Oh, you're okay with the state sponsored violence. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's like this coded, again, this is coded language, this coded discussion of it. And with the, there was, I think, like, during the Tommy Lauren Trevor Noah conversation, it was very much like I think they either didn't understand each other or Trevor Noah didn't push her enough.
Trevor didn't push her enough.
I do too. But I think, like, she didn't understand, like, why he was doing it. Therefore, if she couldn't get past that, she didn't understand anything else.
Yeah.
Right? And I wish Trevor Noah, I think he understood that. I wish what he would articulate to her is that, like, he's not, like, condemning the flag or condemning America. It's not unpatriotic, but it's like he's very much in line with his critics as far as saying like, oh, the flag and the national anthem is this pristine thing. It's this like honorable American, you know, pastime. And it's like, yeah, you're right, it is. And so I'm gonna use that honorable thing and hold it accountable to the ideals that we all love and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm gonna treat it as if it's upholding all these values we all care about, then I'm lying to myself and I'm lying to the ideal. So I need a challenge. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, challenge anyone or anybody or anything you love if it's doing something that's harmful or not okay. And like she's a Trump supporter. She was then. I'm sure she still is now. But it's like we can honor and think of the presidency and that office as something that's to be upheld and looked upon in a moral way.
Mm-hmm.
If it's bastardized, as it has been in, like, you know, more ways than one,
mm-hmm.
then, like, then we should hold it accountable like anything else. Like, You're my friend. I love you. We're bros. But if you do something stupid or you say something dumb, I'm going to call you on it because I love you. If I didn't care, then I wouldn't say anything.
No, but like, and so at the end of the day, moral of the story is, you know, we it is all of our jobs to continue to push forward and continue to, you know, be engaging. And at some points, like, you know, do I blame LeBron James for not calling out white supremacy? No, why? Because at the end of the day, it's not. I don't think it's his job. I think he
didn't sign up for it.
That's not what he signed. He's an NBA.
He does good work, player. But you know what I said before. Like I still believe that. But like he does good shit. But it's just like,
and like don't think that he's not like listening to this right now. And like it's going through totally his mind, is. And he's like, Colin is right. I'm going to talk about Soapbox production and organizing.
Give like $3 million to them, and in addition to Black Lives Matter and BOP 100.
And we're gonna move forward, and then he gets his Nike deal stripped. But then all the people just unite around him.
Exactly.
And that can happen. And that's a movement that we constantly keep making. That's the movement that we're constantly pushing. And so as always, you know, stay black, stay brown, stay queer,
stay tuned, stay turned. Oh Lord. But back to the mentally, and it's not about natural ability. You would think that Cap took a shot on the Statue of Liberty. Goddamn. It's like we trapped in a memory. Untrue facts where black is an injury. It makes me wanna snap. Just slap me an enemy. Then go into the back and just rap to infinity. Fuck.